Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. This podcast that we have today, this episode, I have a guest that I personally have been interested in picking his brains and getting lots of his wisdom. He has a tremendous revelation that I think all need to hear and pay attention. And so before I bring Dr. Craig on, I want to say to all the listeners to Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. I want you guys to begin to hear because we are about to learn some tremendous things. Doc, welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. I'll let you do the introduction.
Oh, thank you, Ken. Thank you for letting me be a guest on your show.
Thank you, sir.
I have a, I've been a numerologist now since 1988 is when I turned professional. And I offer readings, consultations, forecasts. I do workshops. I teach classes. I've been blessed to be able to share this information with people all around the world. My greatest accomplishment, I guess, would be I got an opportunity to lecture at Princeton University on numerology for their anthropology department. And I just felt that I just felt really good about that. Having been a little guy in Baltimore City who whose friend died from a drug overdose. And as a result of that, I'm lecturing at an Ivy League college. It's amazing what God can do.
Welcome. Thank you for that. I'm glad of the achievement. That is an incredible achievement to have today where you are. Your journey began many years ago. And who would have thought that that journey that you began several years ago that would lead you here? And so that's what the beauty of that we have here at this site, that I tell people that we all have our journey and it begins somewhere. So Doc, go back, recollect that time and the incident that started you on your awakening to walk you to the place that you are today.
Yes, I was studying to become an engineer, Ken. In the seventh grade, I got really good grades in math and science, and my parents decided they wanted an engineer in the family. So I didn't have much choice about it, right? So it's math and science, math and science. Uh-huh. My mother was a school teacher, so I was never out of school.
Oh, wow. Tell me about it. My dad was a teacher, too, so I know.
So you've been there.
Yes, so, sir.
My original plan was to become a pilot in the U.S. Navy. And so I'm studying about armaments, top speed, how many machine guns and cannons I could have on my plane. And in the process of all of this, 2 weeks before I was to put my first marriage, my best friend died of a drug overdose.
Wow.
And I didn't even know he was using drugs. So needless to say, this was very disruptive. My belief system at that time was non-existent. If you couldn't measure it, quantify it, feel it, see it, taste it, or touch it, it wasn't real to me. I did not believe in God while I was studying math and science to become an engineer. I believed in my mind.
Yes,
but when my friend died from a drug overdose, my roots weren't deep enough for that. And it just knocked me over. And I started for the very first time, Ken, to pray. And to ask why. Why was this happening? Why was I here? What's the meaning of life? So this was my awakening at the time. It just felt terrible. It was awful. So I was in a state of yearning to know. And during this state of yearning, I heard a song on the radio by Roy Ayers, and it was called In Search of the Third Eye. And the lyrics were secrets of numbers, secrets of sound, secrets of wisdom will be found. So I wanted some wisdom. I wanted to know why I was here. So I was drawn to that song. Now, this was back in 72. So you couldn't go on Amazon and order. It took me 2 years to get a copy of that album. and when I read the jacket, I discovered the author of the song had read a book by Vera Stanley Alder called In Search of the Third Eye. So this was my introduction to spirituality, to metaphysics, to things outside of the physical world.
Yeah.
And so I began to read this book. So I'm reading it about colors and sound. It was all good. But when I got to numbers, I was like, wait a minute. Numbers are different from figures. Who knew?
Yes.
If I hold up a pen, Ken, and I say I have one pen, that would be a figure. Figures are for quantities.
Yes.
But if I look a little closer and I say, big pens are number one, now I'm no longer talking about a quantity, but a quality of being the best.
This is
what numerology uncovered for me, that numbers reveal spiritual qualities. So I began to read and I discovered I was a number seven. So my first client was me. I was my first client. Reading this information, I'm discovering my birthday, my name, and I discovered the birthday. Our birthdays reveal our gifts from God.
Wow.
Our name reveals our promise. As I began to study, I was pulled into Christianity because I discovered numbers were in the Bible repeating themselves.
Like
Jesus was sought by three wise men, denied three times by three sleeping disciples, arose on the third day. And I left a lot of them out because your show is only so much time. This number three, wait a minute. It means expression, spiritual growth. And when asked why you were here, Master, he said, I'm here to have life and have it more abundantly. So the number three stands for abundance. So this became relevant because people were born in the third month, March. That's abundance. If you're born on the 3rd, the 12th, 1 plus 2 is 3. The 21st, 2 plus 1 is 3. Or the 30th of any month, 3 plus 0 is 3. You're going to have an abundant life. Money is going to come to you, and your test is going to be how you spend it. Not if you're going to have it, but how you spend it. Now, everybody knows what it means to be number one. That's leadership. But every number has a meaning. 2, that's the peace sign. 3, expression, abundance. 4 is work and order. 5 is freedom. 6 is service. That's the greatest among us. 7, that was my number, faith and wisdom. So as a 7, I discovered my job was to discover the truth and share it. So here I was studying this information because of what happened to my friend. And I discovered this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So it gave me a whole nother insight into my friend's passing. And I took a new look at it, Ken. Instead of viewing it as a disaster, I viewed it as a sacrifice, that my no greater love has a friend that he laid down his life. So I began to view this as a sacrifice because the scripture taught me that we have a contract with God before we're formed in the womb.
Yes.
So before we come into physical form, we exist as spiritual beings and we go back home after this experience.
Yes.
So I discovered we're not physical beings who have an occasional aha moment. We're spiritual beings having a temporary physical expression. And part of my contract with my friend was that in his passing, it would awaken me, put me on my path so I could study. And that's why I'm on this show today.
Oh, man, that is awesome. I love the where you have brought us. I remember being when I was a teacher, a pastor in a conference, and I asked the pastors this question: where was the man when God created the universe? Where was the spirit of the man? And they're looking at me going, you know, I could see those eyes just being lost. He was inside creating with God, talking. And then after it's all finished, he released the spiritual being into this mud. Why did he create the body? The body, Doc, was to keep us legally here on this planet, because that spirit being would be all over. He could go anywhere he wants. The body kept us here. And then after we have, when we die and we shed that body, the house, that spiritual being, as you is has the ability to go back. And so it's a beautiful insight that you gave to us. And the fact that, and I tell people this all the time, Doc, that you have to shift your perspective in your pain in order to understand and to create a new path out of this pain. And you talked about shifting your perspective about the death of your friend and how once you changed that perspective, that you were then able to approach your journey a totally different way. And this is one of the keys Doc, yes. that I keep telling people that you must understand this. Talk to us a little more about this, because this is key, because here you have your best man, best friend, everything, and the closeness of how he was to you, and the cause of the death, the trauma, all of that stuff was changed when you changed your perspective.
It was transformed, Ken. It was transformed. Oh. I went from literally thinking I would never smile again mm-hmm. to just being filled wow. with happiness, gratitude, thanksgiving. I began to think of it as a farmer. When a farmer, God being the farmer, mm-hmm. when he wants yeah. to plant a new crop, the first thing the farmer does was get out the plow to break yes. up that field,
break up the ground.
Bust up that ground, break that dirt up,
yes.
turn it over. And yeah. That's how I, now this was months later, you know, before I was just
yeah.
dirt
yeah.
being tossed. Mm-hmm. But as I began to look back and analyze the experience, that's what God was doing. He was preparing yes. me to receive new seed.
Yes.
Receive new seed. And I also discovered this contract was made long before I was in my shell, and before I was yes. in the physical form.
Yes.
I had this contract of awakening, yes. and I chose yes. this experience before I got here. Mm-hmm. And that put the responsibility of my life totally on my shoulders
on
for
your
every
shoulders.
Choice I made, every decision. So I stopped blaming people.
Yes.
This had a major transition on me. I stopped blaming people for my situation. I stopped finding fault in others. I stopped judging. And I began to take full responsibility for my thoughts, my actions, and everything that I did. I realized I was accountable here
yes.
on earth, and that mm-hmm. there was a contract. And the most important thing I realized was my life was a gift. I didn't belong to me.
Yes, yes.
Corinthians 6, verse 19, the body is a temple of the spirit within. This spirit yes. is of God, and we are not our own.
That's right.
And
that's right. I am so excited to have you here, because this is exciting my spirit, man, to have this conversation, because it is very few people that I can have this type of conversation with, Doc. There are not many Christians that you can have this conversation and
yes.
try, you
That's
know,
true.
Because they are, and I try to explain this to people that what we are looking at is two types of kingdoms. You have one kingdom and there are laws that guide each kingdom. And
yes.
Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, is here. This is a new way of thinking. This is a new way of behaving. There's a new way coming, guys. And if you enter this new kingdom by being born again, and once you've entered into this kingdom, there are certain principles. This is the greatest of all commandments. You love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And the second is unto the first. You love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on and he tells them about loving your enemies. This is a new kingdom. This is a new behavior. And I see the behavior of the church. I see these men and women that are saying they're pastors. And I look at them in the light of the new principles that are supposed to be guiding us. And I say to myself, they don't have a clue of what they're talking about. They're in the wrong kingdom. They're on the wrong thing, because Jesus said to them, go make disciples. He didn't say go make members, because members pay dues and all the other stuff. A disciple now, Doc, is focused on learning the principles of this new kingdom, isn't he?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. There's a huge difference in that.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed the same thing, too. I haven't been actually welcomed with this information. It's self-empowering. And I think a lot of people are trying to gather power unto themselves.
Yes,
I agree. I had one minister tell me he was responsible for my soul, for my soul's development.
Wow.
And I didn't disagree with him, but I knew I was in the wrong church.
Yes.
We are responsible for
we
our own.
Respond. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Work out your own salvation. That's what it tells us. So if I have to work out my own, it's not his responsibility. And I love the fact that you, from this incident, that you gained the insight about taking responsibility, blaming your parents, blaring everyone else has a shelf life. And you have to, when you begin to your journey of self-discovery, one of the there you've laid out a few of them is shifting the your perspective. The second and one of the most important is to own it, is to take responsibility for everything. When I say everything, Doc, I'm talking about the first thing that comes to your mind, that thought. You have to take responsibility and ownership there. Once you have learned how to take ownership there, everything else becomes simpler.
Yes, it does. It gives you a totally new perspective, and you can begin to say, well, okay, if I've chosen this, what's the benefit? What was I looking for? What was my purpose? And this gets the mind flowing and looking and turning positive and seeing that proverbial silver lining, as they say, to the class.
Yes. Yes. It's the way to your self-discovery. It's the way for you to understand who you are, because you have to be honest with yourself. You can't lie. You can't lie, because you know you can't do it. So if you're interested in becoming the best human spirit while you're here on this planet, you must be honest with yourself. And as your honesty grows more and more, and as you answer those questions, you begin to become what I say as you're beginning to mature. And as you begin to mature, what do? You make better choices.
Exactly. Exactly. I just remembered I stopped at the number 7. So I'm
keep going.
I can hear some people saying, well, what about 8 and 9? eight literally means as it is above, so it is below. It's two circles, one on top of the other. And in numerology, the circle, the zero, is a symbol for God in the beginning. So number 8 can channel heavenly power to the earthly plane. So it's a vibration of money, power, authority, and being the boss. Oh, by the way, when we're talking about spiritual qualities, gender doesn't matter. The number 9, that's the energy you're expressing as Ken Primus. That's Ken is a 3. Primus is a 33. So when you add 3 and 33, it's 36. And that's where the 9 comes from. 3 plus 6 is 9. And that stands for selfless giving. Give, 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 give. Get little or nothing back in return from those you give to. Because 9s are here to uplift the planet and help the poor, the sick, the disadvantaged, people who can't give back. So as a 9's mission is to be God's hand on earth, to give without thought of return.
That is awesome for me. I thank you for that information, because as you've mentioned in that, most of my life, that part of a giver, it is my heart. And I remember when I was in corporate America, that quality would not, it wasn't useful within that arena. I was being groomed to become a CEO, and I was told the reason why I couldn't be at that level was because I have a heart. And so in order for me to get to the next level, I was told I would have to kill that heart. And I remember looking at them going, I don't know how to do that.
That was a test.
I took that and I looked at them and I said, I really don't know how to do that. And I actually resigned from it, because I told them, I said, you guys misunderstood who I am. And at least for me, I knew that I could not do that. To shut down that part of me would be absolutely murderous, I believe. And I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it.
You bring up an excellent point, because there are people who are working jobs now and they have attempted to shut that part of themselves down. And this is what's making heart attacks, strokes, hypertension, because they're trying to adhere to an outer guide or an outer goal or way things should be, as opposed to listening to their inner voice within.
Yeah. And it's my hope, Doc, as you and I continue this conversation, that people listen to you and begin to ask those questions and begin to look seriously as to who you are as an individual. Look at your lifestyle, because as Doc said, your choices brought you there. Is this where you want to be for the rest of the remainder of your life? Or do you want something else? If you want something else, it is my hope that you listen and take some of the tools that Doc has provided for us so far as we are having this conversation. So Doc, now here you're here. You've made these changes. Now you've started this process and your journey. What were some of the fears that you deal with as an individual in order for you to move through and continue your journey?
Well, the first fear was actually hearing from God. My prayers were answered. I managed to put myself in a genuine state of yearning, and the universe started responding to me. Now, God didn't come to me and talk to me the way you and I are having a conversation.
But
I would see signs. I heard that song. It piqued my interest. I followed the book. So these are things that are happening that are helping me to awaken and get on the path that God had planned for me. Once I discovered I was in number seven, sevens are here to research and analyze. So I began to go out, try to find books on numerology. God was speaking to me and saying, I'm going to give you the gift of discernment through numbers.
Yes.
Wow. Whoa. I had to go look that word up. What does discernment mean? So that was the first fear. After that, the next one was, I began to really get excited about this information I had found and go out and share it with people. And they were like, we don't want to hear that. Who are you? That's crazy. You must be the devil. That's evil. That's demonic. We're not supposed to be doing stuff like that. So those were the next fears that I had, was what's happening to me. Why am I being guided down this path? And how will people, you know, respond to this information? So I took that into prayer as well, and God began to give me scriptures. My scriptures. He says, well, a good name is better to have than diamonds and gold. So what's a name? A name, that's on our birth certificate.
Well, yes.
People speak our name. It's a word. What are words? Words are vibrations that we use letters and numbers as symbols for. So we were created by the word, and words are symbolized with letters and numbers. Then the letters in your name and the numbers in your birthday are symbols for the word of God that created you. So I was able to cross that bridge and overcome that fear. And I just became so, no pun intended, enlightened by these studies and research that it overcame all of my fears, and I began to just be able to share the information with people. I discovered different authors and texts. I began to read them and study them and share the information that I discovered with people that were having situations and problems. So that began to give me positive feedback. So it's like the opposite of fear is faith. Fear and faith are opposite sides of the same coin. So really, fear is having faith in what you don't want to happen.
Exactly.
Something awful. So I discovered faith, the size of a mustard seed could move mountains. So I began to change my perspective and realize even the worst thing that had ever happened to me in my life turned out, no, I'll put it this way, if the worst thing to turn out to be the best thing, then everything that is happening is for our good.
Everything
is for our good. Now, this good is not interpreted in terms of what car you drive or what your income is or your material status in a material world. This seeking of goodness is developing your spiritual gifts, getting on the path, understanding your purpose on life and what God's plan is for you.
That's so powerful stuff. You talk about first the name. Remember, he went to Abram and changed his name. He changed his name into what he wanted him to be. When people began to call him by the vibration of Abraham, he became the father yes. of many nations. He changed the vibration. And so anyone that called yes. him now, no longer called him Abram, they called him Abraham. It was a totally different ball game that God was coming to teach his people, that yes. the name means something. And our confession, because it is, as you stated, it is sound vibration. You yes. saw that the walls of Jericho came down by sound vibration. You see that yes. Our lives are changed by these things. And I love this conversation that we're having, because I'm so excited just to talk to you about this, the insights that you have, because in many cases, I feel that we have a kindred spirit with things. There was a revelation that God had given to me in my studies about what the meaning of grace is. And I remember studying that word for about a year or so before I even talked to anyone about it. And the historical teaching that they taught us in the church was God's unmerited favor. Talked about anything at all. But as I dug into the language of this thing, the revelation came to me that grace means the divine influence upon the heart and the benefit that it brings to that believer, that person. And then God began to take me into the scriptures, and he said, he showed me the examples of that. For by grace are we saved through faith. Grace is not our responsibility. It is God's responsibility. The Holy Spirit quickens the heart, the scripture tells us, but the faith is ours. So by faith, so this grace, and it tells us, we saw the example again, when Moses was with the children of Israel, God said to him, go tell the children of Israel to ask your neighbor for their wealth to leave Egypt. The next scripture says that they went, and it says that great grace, the favor of God was upon them. And that word favor means grace. And so here you have again this principle of God and man working together. Now, I'm saying this story because he had given me this revelation. I had never heard anyone preach this thing at all. 5 years later, because when I preached it first, they were calling me all kinds of names, telling me I am preaching heresy and the whole nine yards. They just let me have it. And so it was 5 years later that my dad and my mom, when they were at a convention, they sent me a tape of that convention. And here it was this preacher preaching the exact same thing that I had taught 5 years before. Doc, when I heard it, I cried and cried and cried, because we tend to the words that people say to us. Sometimes, you know, even though we're walking in faith, we're still, you know, it still gets to us a little, because I would, that thought would come to me once in a while, you know, wow, maybe it is, you know. But here it was 5 years later, and awesome. I cried like a baby and realized that, hey, God shows us things to guide us as we began to have a relationship with him, as he did with Adam. It says, as it was their custom. God says, where are you? They were hanging out talking. And so as you began to hang out and talk with God, and he began to make himself known to you through these songs, these little things that people don't pay attention to, but you are now in a place of awareness. So you're aware of these little nuggets that he is putting in your path. And as you begin to receive them and you begin to change and walk your process, and as you begin to shed more and more of your, as they say, you're walking through your fears and you're dealing with this. But yours came where your fear became as you engulfed yourself in the knowledge of who you are, the fear began to subside. Isn't that a beautiful thing that they yes, fall aside and they don't have the same power as they had years before or months before?
Yes, you really get it. I'm getting the same feeling as I'm talking to you that you must have gotten when you heard that preacher 5 years ago. It's, it's confirmation. It's confirmation. I think sometimes God wants us to be a pioneer. He sends us out there to pioneer things. He gives us that information and we're thrust out. But just like the moon waxes and wanes, you have to come back within. You know, you can't stay out there too long. you have to turn back within, retouch with the source, get back in touch with the base, and recharge your energies. Then you can go forth again. So it's like introspection, then projection. Then introspection, then projection.
And if you follow Jesus's example, he went with a crowd. He went in the garden. He went in the crowd. he went and meditate. And I keep telling people, retreat to that place is not a place. And I speak to path of solitude. One of the chapters in my book, I talk about solitude. And I try to tell people, this is the place where you gain the power. This is the place where you are recharged. Out of that place, Jesus came out and walked on water. And he walked on water. And then when he got on the boat, it said immediately it went to the other side. This, people, is the area where you need to come. You should be excited to get there. Don't run from it. Don't run to the TV. Don't run to your phone all the time. Run to the place of solitude so that you can gain your power. And your perspective would change there. Your vision would change there. Your purpose would change right there. This is the place that you need to be. And we have allowed circumstances to come into our lives and cause us to be busy doing nothing. And we need to come back to the place of power. And that place, as I've said before, is a place of solitude, as Jesus did, Doc. We have to do that. And people need to understand, don't run away from this at all. This is where it happens. And you talk about going in, coming back out, going in and out. And that I want you to talk a little more about that, because they need to see this right here, when you come into this place, things change.
Yes. The scripture says, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
So it's this stillness, it's the quietude, it's the reflecting that enables our spirit to get back in touch with who we really are. See, we're human beings, but we've become human doings, trying to stay busy, doing things all the time, can't sit still. And this is really counterproductive. The best way, God is telling me to explain it this way. If you take a grape and you pick it from the vine, within time, that grape is going to wither and become a raisin. You have to stay connected to the vine in order to thrive.
Yes.
Now, metaphysically speaking, God is the vine and we are the fruit. And it's in the stillness and the quietude, that's how we connect.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's vital that we hear people say, I don't know how to meditate. Well, just have to be still. There are many, many ways of doing it. I like to just listen to music. That does it for me. Some people stare at a candle. I know people who do walking meditation. They like to be out in nature and they're walking and the breeze is around them and this clears their mind. But the point is to stop the mind and get the soul to kick in, our spirit to kick in, because the mind is part of the body and that's part of the shell. That's part of the encasing that we're in that stays here.
Yes.
So we have to train the mind to be still and to heed the higher consciousness. And this is what should guide us. Now, I like numerology because it took all this information out of the ethereal and put it on paper. Right. One and one is two. Okay. Every day, one and one is two. So people say, well, I don't know how to tap into my inner resources. Well, if you know how to add the numbers in your birthday, you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. Mm-hmm. And then you can begin to ponder and meditate on that. And because that's how it happened for me. I found something tangible on the outside that was like a bridge that led me to my inner truth.
Yeah. One of the things I had mentioned to you about my studies that I've noticed with, and I had talked to you about the birth of Western Christianity at the Council of Nicaea. One of the things that Western Christianity took out because they attribute it to demonic was meditation. We read the book of Psalms, and I keep telling people that if you take meditation out of the Eastern Christianity, it was a part of their custom. And so they did this as a regular thing. Now, the Western world, we weren't familiar with that. And so we attribute that if we meditate, demons are going to jump into us and all kinds of crazy stuff. I've heard when I was a young man growing up in Christianity. That is absolute madness. The Bible tells us the Psalms, I meditate on the Lord. I meditate on the word of God. So if they can do this, and I keep telling you, this is where the power is, guys. It's the recharging of the unit, as you say. And as we become recharged, we're able to walk on water. We are able to become who we are. We were meant to be creators. We create by how we speak and what power we release. For the Bible tells us that we are creators. God placed us in charge, this entire universe. And he said, this is your piece of property. And someone saw that and he was upset and he came to change that. And so, and then someone else came back and restored it back to us, because Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now go. He then released this authority to you and I, Doc. And so until we begin to do, as you said, when we first started this conversation, to become owners of our thoughts, that we become responsible for our actions. Actions, what we say, what we think, what we do, what we, all of these things become our habits, which become our behavior, which become our lifestyle, which becomes you. So you are here today because of you. And so what we are here, and I'm glad Doc is here, is to help you to create a new you. And we have been talking for a while about the tools, the relationship, about getting in touch with God. Some people call it the higher being. The Indians call it the great white spirit. They use different language to describe the God of us all. Yes, Jesus said that you get to know your God. After you get to know you got to learn how to love yourself. After you learn to have self, then you learn how to love your neighbor. That's the progression of it all. And so we're trying to educate you through our lives and the different spaces that we visited, painful ones, the wonderful ones, and all of the different principles that we learn, we are discussing. And it is our hope that you become enlightened, as Doc says that he did it in his path, and that we can bring you on next time and have you talk about how you heard a conversation from Doc and I, and it changed your life. So Doc, today now you are here, and today you are able to counsel people how to come out of their place of prison, as they say. And that prison is their perception. We have entitled it with different names, depression, anxiety, all of the different names that we attribute to a outside force that came through by a thought that produces chemical reaction in our bodies and cause us to have these dis-ease. Talked about how we can get to you and some of those stories that you, through your conversation, how you have moved people from one space to the other.
Well, to get in touch with me, you can send me an email. It's cr77ig@gmail.com. I have a website that lists the various services that I offer, and that is craigewright.com, www.craigewright, that's W-R-I-G-H-T.com, listing all the services. If you want to know why you're here, what your gifts are, what your talents are, skills, abilities, if you want to know your contract with Creator, numerology is an excellent way to do so, because it is based on the belief that you were created by the Word. And every letter, every number is a symbol for a spiritual quality that we possess. So it's an amazing science. It's very, very informative. And I like to tell people my test became my testimony. And my parents wanted an engineer, but I didn't end up building physical bridges, but I built spiritual bridges, connecting people's minds from the spiritual concept to the metaphysical concepts of who they truly are.
Well, Doc, I want to welcome and thank you for coming. I totally and honestly enjoyed this time that we spent, and I want to back over talking to you that I explained to you what I wanted to do with the progression of this. And I want to bring you on again for that time so that people can get a chance to meet you again. Because I want them to understand the revelation that he has. It is very powerful stuff because God deals in numbers. Everything is measured, and science, true science, and physics and metaphysics and quantum physics all prove that there is a design behind what is called life, what is called the earth. And I employ you to contact Dr. Wright and gather all of his wisdom, have him explain to you what you are supposed to be doing so that you can join this team so that we can change this world.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ken.
You have a great day, sir. Thank you. Everyone who's listening to this broadcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more. Everyone who's listening to this broadcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.